This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Are you predictable? When was the last time you surprised someone with something totally unexpected? At ProFlowers, we think predictability is boring. So we're making it easy for you to be unpredictable by offering our best-selling 100 blooms for just $19.99. Plus, we're giving away a free glass vase with every order. But hurry, because this incredible deal ends this Friday. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5151. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code 5151.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Lamar Odom reportedly in big trouble. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka. It's Thursday, October 15. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Nye County Sheriff in Nevada says former NBA player Lamar Odom was using cocaine the night he was found unconscious at a brothel. At least one report says his organs are failing.
The computer system that checks flyers against a terror watch list malfunctioned last night, causing major delays at a number of airports.
In baseball, a winner-take-all Game 5 between the Mets and Dodgers tonight, plus the Royals and Blue Jays have advanced to the American League Championship.
And how the office bad guys wind up in that position and what makes them tick.
The ones who got through it really well were those who see it just as part of their job, working toward a higher goal. For example, you know, somebody who doesn't want friends at the office because it's his job to get people to update their skills, to lay people off. And maybe they find that having friends at the office gets in the way of objective decision making.
Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger on the person in charge of always delivering, say, bad performance reviews or firings. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, former NBA player and reality TV cast member Lamar Odom is reportedly still fighting for his life in a Las Vegas hospital after he was found unresponsive at a legal brothel. And now employees have reportedly told local authorities that he'd been using cocaine plus a sexual performance-enhancing supplement. The 35-year-old ex-husband of Khloe Kardashian was stricken on Tuesday at the Love Ranch in Crystal, Nevada, and was taken to the hospital. Nye County Sheriff Sharon Worley.
He had blood coming from his nose and his mouth, along with a white substance.
The Sunrise Hospital and Medical Center in Las Vegas, where Odom was taken, declined to comment on his condition, citing patient confidentiality. However, celebrity website TMZ reported he was in a coma and that some of his organs were failing. Another celebrity news outlet, E, reported that Odom had suffered brain damage and at least one stroke and was on a ventilator after taking multiple drugs. Both outlets cited unnamed sources. CBS this morning, by the way, said Odom, who's 6'10", couldn't fit in the helicopter that initially came to get him, and he had to be taken by ambulance. Well, you may be aware that Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump was live tweeting his analysis of the Democratic presidential debate on Tuesday. Well, he continued analysis yesterday during a rally in Richmond, Virginia. This, by the way, is an example of how you make news on a generally slow news day and steal the spotlight from your opponents. Mr. Trump's biggest criticism was that he felt no one went after Hillary Clinton aggressively enough, sticking to just policy questions.
She might have done okay last night. She did. She did okay because nobody attacked her. Nobody attacked her. There was no attack.
In contrast, he felt the Republican debates were like a reality television show. He says, with me, everything was an attack. He also said it was appalling how far Mrs. Clinton tacked to the left of fellow Democrat Bernie Sanders, the Vermont senator, who Mr. Trump called a communist, socialist, and a maniac. Regarding policy issues, and very short on specifics, Mr. Trump promised to repeal Obamacare and replace it with, quote, something that's going to be terrific. Well, a big deal was made about Mr. Trump live tweeting about Tuesday's Democratic presidential debate. Who's the guy behind Mr. Trump's digital strategy? It's Justin McConney, a 29-year-old employee of Mr. Trump. More from Ben Schreckinger at Politico. He's on the T-Mobile hotline. Ben, tell us about him.
So he was the person who encouraged Donald to start tweeting multiple times a day. He started a series of videos that became very popular. This is all well before Donald Trump was running for office. Donald just sort of sitting at his desk, looking straight to camera and giving his thoughts on whatever was on his mind, often very brief. He got Donald on Instagram, and while he maintains his role at the Trump Organization, he's also been playing an important role in the campaign social media.
How would most observers, I guess, feel that Mr. Trump ranks when it comes to management of social media versus, say, his rivals?
Compared to his Republican rivals, he is far and away the best at social media. Bernie Sanders, arguably rivals, perhaps surpasses him on the Democratic side. But he is wiping the floor with his Republican rivals on social media. These Instagram attack ads that Justin has pioneered for him are constantly played on TV. Trump is winning social media right now.
Give an example of one of these Instagram attack ads for those who may not be familiar.
Donald is very spendthrift, so he does not buy television ads. Justin instead cuts these little 15-second attack ads on his Mac. Most of them have been aimed at Bush. One of them quoted Barbara Bush saying, "No, I don't think that Jeb should run. I think we've had enough Bushes." And then it ends with, "Mother knows best, Jeb." And that was a real zinger and got a ton of play when it came out.
We're speaking with Ben Schreckinger, politics reporter at Politico, and he's got a look at Donald Trump's social media guy named Justin McConney. What is Justin's secret to success here? Has he revealed it?
I think that he is just a young guy who has a keen interest in this sort of stuff and sort of has met Donald Trump, who is incredibly savvy at marketing, even if he's not a digital native, and it's just a potent combination.
All right, so he's done work on the TV show The Apprentice, you said too, right?
That's right. His title, he worked for Miss USA and Miss Universe, where he was an assistant editor. On The Apprentice, they gave him the title of apprentice editor. So he's been, through his father, working for Donald since at least 2009.
Wow. So did he stumble into this, or did he pursue it?
He pitched Donald on the role. I believe that the first kind of work that he did for him on this was there was a big meeting at a golf course, a business meeting for Donald, and he compiled sort of a greatest hits little montage video to play ahead of the meeting that people got a big kick out of there. And after that, he sort of got the idea that he should pitch Trump on a social media role, and Trump was into it. And so since 2011, that's what he's been doing.
Wow. Does Justin get credit also for Mr. Trump taking part in the Ice Bucket Challenge?
He absolutely does. That was blowing up last summer. It was going viral. Mike Tyson, Vince McMahon, even Homer Simpson had all challenged Trump to do it. And Trump didn't know. He was hemming and hawing. Justin said, no, you've got to do this. People will love it. Trump did it. It was, of course, in Trump fashion, on the roof of Trump Tower. He had Miss Universe and Miss USA dump the water on his head, and it got viewed over a million times on YouTube, and Trump was ecstatic with it.
Jeez, very good. What else should we include? Anything else worth a mention?
I think one thing to look for is whether other candidates have been imitating Trump on positions, on messaging, and it'll be interesting to see whether they imitate him on social media, especially if they start rolling out their own 15-second Instagram ads.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Schreckinger at Politico. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday morning. The U.S. has deployed 90 military personnel to the African nation of Cameroon and plans to send surveillance drones to gather intelligence on the terrorist group Boko Haram. The Defense Department plans to send as many as 300 U.S. troops in what officials said is expected to be a temporary mission against the militant group. Flushed from its Nigerian base by that country's armed forces, Boko Haram is threatening neighboring countries like Cameroon. White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
The U.S. military forces who were deployed to Cameroon are there at the invitation of the government of Cameroon and will act in coordination with the government of Cameroon.
A U.S. military official tells the Wall Street Journal that once the full U.S. force of 300 arrives, the troops could take on the additional task of training Cameroon forces. Boko Haram, by the way, has come under increased pressure from Nigerian forces. Although increasingly unable to control territory in Nigeria, the group continues to kidnap women and children and attack civilian targets. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the Obama administration is making a new effort to defuse escalating tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. State Department spokesman John Kirby says Secretary of State John Kerry will travel to the region to call for calm.
What he has talked about is the challenges that are posed on both sides by this absence of progress towards a two-state solution.
Concerns are mounting that the recent violence could spiral into broader regional upheaval. The Taliban's recent surge in Afghanistan has led President Obama to change his mind about pulling nearly all U.S. forces out by the end of next year. There are currently 10,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan. The U.S. expected to leave around 5,500 troops there after 2016. Basketball and reality TV star Lamar Odom is reportedly fighting for his life in a Las Vegas hospital after he was found unconscious at a brothel where employees say he used cocaine and a sexual performance-enhancing supplement. Nye County Sheriff Sharon Worley.
They confirmed his usage on Saturday but was unsure if it had continued to the weekend.
The 35-year-old former Los Angeles Laker and ex-husband of Khloe Kardashian is said to be on life support. A computer system that checks airline passengers' names against the federal terror watch list experienced problems last night, forcing airline personnel and security to use a manual process that resulted in major delays at several airports around the country. This woman dropped off a family member at New York's JFK for a flight to Italy.
The people up there were all cursing. There was people that couldn't walk. It was crazy. It was crazy. People in a wheelchair that were like crying, waiting there for hours.
The computer outage lasted about 90 minutes. European leaders in Brussels are to discuss measures to ease the region's migration crisis, with Turkey the focus of their efforts. Turkey's hosting some 2 million migrants, most of them fleeing the war in neighboring Syria. And not to be outdone by President Obama or Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders became the latest presidential candidate to dance on The Ellen DeGeneres Show. The day after the first Democratic presidential debate, Sanders taped an interview at her studio in Los Angeles and came out on stage bobbing his head and grooving to Disco Inferno.
Oh, burn, baby, burn. Oh, get that?
Yeah.
Burn, like the burn, feel the burn, Bernie's. I didn't realize that. I did that.
B-E-R-N.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Oh, good for them. I like to see the lighter side.
Yes.
Because they seem so stiff all the time.
Yes, like, it is fun.
Could you remove the rod from, you know, the back area?
Yeah, watch it.
It's 23 minutes after the hour. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by BASF. Through science and sustainable innovation, BASF enables its customers to meet the current and future needs of society. BASF, we create chemistry. Most people work with one of these types, the office bad guy. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger says most workers and managers want to be seen as good guys at the office, spreading warmth and cheer. Yet not everyone needs to be liked. Some thrive on or at least find ways to handle being the bearer of bad news. Sue, what are these folks made of?
They have different rationales to cope. Some really feel the pain. I mean, many people are really thrust into laying people off or delivering bad performance reviews or policing alcohol consumption at the office party, and they really don't like the role. They suffer through it. They feel empathy for others. The ones who got through it really well were those who see it just as part of their job, working toward a higher goal. For example, you know, somebody who doesn't want friends at the office because it's his job to get people to update their skills, to lay people off. And maybe they find that having friends at the office gets in the way of objective decision making.
Wow. All right. You said something that struck me early on about the person who might have to police alcohol consumption at a party. Are you kidding me?
This is one example given me by a human resources consultant who says, you know, somebody's got to do that. If you're going to have an office party with alcohol, it usually falls to the HR manager. It's just one of those things. Not at all companies, of course, but it does happen at some companies. And you know, there's also the issue of, you know, being creative. Sometimes you have to depart from the crowd. And I think, you know, Steve Jobs at Apple was probably a good example of someone who really didn't care what other people thought. And, you know, probably was pretty harsh with people for a purpose of innovating and pursuing what he saw as a vision. I think this is a role that many people in the workplace take. They don't mind being seen as a maverick if they can be creative and innovative.
Boy, I see the person policing alcohol consumption in my mind just carrying around like a white clipboard or a chart or something. And going, Schellenberger, I think that's your that's the second Pinot Noir. Slow that down. Right? Oh, my goodness.
Put your car keys in the bowl right here.
Right.
You're not leaving until I take a breathalyzer, right? It's not a good, not a pretty picture.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. Her piece is called How Office Bad Guys Handle the Role. I did see that there was somebody quoted in your story who said this actually can be lonely work.
Well, it really is. One woman I interviewed, an employment attorney who had been required to lay people off and deliver bad news, even enforce rules she didn't like, she said it's very lonely. She said she realized that she really couldn't be friends with anyone, even at her own level, only with those above her on the org chart, because she might be called on to lay that person off the next day. She really disliked that role and moved on to something else rather quickly. Other people don't mind that. You know, they get their the richness in life for them is outside the office, the exercise, they have friends, and they don't look for social life at the office.
Thanks, Sue. It's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 1313 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 1313.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, October 15. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines developing this morning. President Obama today will announce he's extending the U.S. military mission in Afghanistan, a reversal for the White House. Cocaine reportedly found on Lamar Odom. The star of the TV show Dance Moms, Abby Lee Miller, has been indicted on fraud charges in connection with hiding hundreds of thousands of dollars in income. Mets and Dodgers in a win or go home game 5 today. And guess who got elected to the city council in North Pole, Alaska? You get one guess what his changed name is. That story in about 20 minutes. 5 years after it became law, Obamacare is still a hot-button issue for many Republicans. David Drucker at the Washington Examiner says GOP strategists advising presidential hopefuls say vows to repeal the Affordable Care Act continue to draw big applause on the stump. Does it still motivate voters? David, what have you found?
Well, there are two things here. First, I spoke to a lot of Republicans working on presidential campaigns that are out in the field every single day. And they told me they do expect this issue to matter, that of all the things the candidates talk about, current events, when they say that they promise to repeal Obamacare in its entirety and replace it, you know, with a conservative plan, market-driven reforms, that is almost a guaranteed standing ovation. And the second thing is, though, they said in the meantime, it is true that some other issues are just overshadowing Obamacare, which is now an issue that's 5.5 years old, right. Whether it's the Iran deal or Planned Parenthood. So they said it's true that other things seem to be garnering more attention. It's true that Republican voters are so frustrated with Washington that they might be flirting with political outsiders who aren't ideologically aligned with them. But they said that when it's all said and done, they think Obamacare will matter, that a candidate will have to have the right position.
Is it possible it could get pushed down the list before we get to, say, the intensity of the primary schedule next, at the turn of the year?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's the reason I explored this. It's just because I expected the issue to be more of a litmus test than it's turned out to be. You know, Scott Walker proposed, the governor of Wisconsin, proposed a pretty well-received in conservative circles plan to fully repeal Obamacare, didn't get too much attention, ended up dropping out of the race a few weeks later for lack of support. Bobby Jindal was the first candidate to propose a repeal and replace plan. He's still a long shot candidate. So there is a question about how much this matters. And are Republicans more interested in other policies than they are health care, whether because Obamacare's been around so long, or maybe they are so upset at the system that they don't trust anybody who tells them anything, and therefore they're willing to take a chance on candidates that aren't ideologically aligned with them but promise to shake everything up.
Well, we're speaking with David Drucker, senior correspondent at the Washington Examiner. His story is called, Does Repealing Obamacare Still Motivate GOP Voters? All right, so what about the potential for Obamacare, say, having prominence in the primary but not necessarily the general election?
Well, yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. So I would guess that as we get closer to the primary voting and even in the midst of the primary campaign, as candidates drop and the field winnows, I think Obamacare is going to matter and be a very salient issue. And I don't see how, therefore, a Republican nominee runs without making repeal and replace of Obamacare one of their top priorities, because I think Republican voters are going to demand it. Now, it gets a little tricky in a general election because I think you have to use different language about Obamacare, broadly unpopular, but I think what most general election voters are going to want to hear is how you're going to fix the healthcare system, not necessarily that you're going to repeal Obamacare. They think Obamacare is a problem, but they think what came before it was also a problem.
Okay. So why, in your mind, I guess, or what does research say about why this is still such a hot button issue?
You know, Republicans don't like the mandate, and they don't like the idea of government having to much control over the healthcare system as it has in the Obamacare system. The Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, essentially remade the U.S. healthcare system. It imposed all sorts of controls and mandates, tells insurance companies what they have to offer, tells people what they have to buy, and that just tends to run counter to what Republican voters find acceptable. And independents who are less ideological don't like the fact that there are a lot of doctors they can't use anymore, there are a lot of plans they can't access anymore, and costs continue to rise. And so you put all of that together, and even you can throw in Democrats who think Obamacare didn't go far enough to implement government controls and things of that nature. So everybody's got a reason to dislike it, and I think that's why it continues to be a salient issue.
Thanks, David. That's David Drucker at the Washington Examiner. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Attention, healthy people in the D.C. area. Park officials are warning of an aggressive owl that is believed to have attacked runners on a popular trail in Bethesda, Maryland. At least three runners in the Capitol Crescent Trail have reported being attacked by a large bird, one of them identified as a barred owl. The attacks occurred after nightfall or before dawn in the past 2 weeks, which makes sense because these are owls we're talking about here. Officials say the runners suffered only minor scratches when the birds swooped down on their heads from behind. A Montgomery Park spokeswoman says barred owls are typically active at night and are territorial. She suggests making noise as an owl approaches and tucking in any ponytails you might be sporting. To warn runners, park staff put signs on the trail on Tuesday reading, "Caution, an aggressive owl lives here."
I'm sorry, could you put up the signs again?
Yeah.
Yeah, was that good? who said that?
Yeah. And I mean, and obviously just, you know, maybe not run at night or pre-dawn. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, owls are out at night. That's a thing.
Right. Until the owl mystery is solved,
yes.
You know, grab your sneakers and go for a lunch run.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it.
That's probably, and yeah, and like I said, make sure you tuck in that ponytail.
Right. Wouldn't the folks, by the way, in, say, Wyoming or Montana get a chuckle out of this?
Oh,
because
yeah, sure.
When they go for jogs, you know,
right,
you have to watch out for bobcats
exactly,
and grizzly bears.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And they don't worry so much about owls.
And owls not even on their radar screen.
Right. Hashtag first world problems.
Right. And just when you thought, Gordon, you'd seen everything you could see in a baseball game, the seventh inning of the Blue Jays-Rangers game last night threw you a curveball. First, you had the Rangers scoring the go-ahead run on a play that most people have never seen before. A throw from the catcher back to the pitcher that hit the batter in the hand and then skipped away. Then the Rangers make three errors in the bottom of the inning to set up a monster home run and bat flip from the Blue Jays' Jose Bautista to seal the game and the series for Toronto. That was a roller coaster of emotions for Blue Jays fans. Hopefully you were watching this because it was crazy. After the Rangers initially took the lead on the one in a million and controversial botched throw in the seventh, it started to get a little ugly at Rogers Center with cans and other debris raining down from the stands, even appearing to strike a woman with a baby at one point. Then elation a little later as the Jays came back to take the lead for good in the bottom of the inning. What might be the strangest inning in a postseason game history was also one of the longest, clocking in at 53 minutes total for the whole thing.
I had budgeted time, like at the end of the game, to squeeze in a workout. You know, I was trying to get in like an hour workout.
Right.
Well, I started at the seventh and just about finished in the seventh inning by the time it was over.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was impossible. And I can't believe I actually turned it off. I told you this. I turned it on right as the controversy was happening.
Yeah.
And I saw the controversy to the end. And then I had to leave and I turned the game off and I come back and find out that all this other crazy stuff happened in the bottom of the inning.
Harold Reynolds, by the way, the analyst on Fox Sports 1, gave a lot of credit to the umpires, and I think rightfully so. They took a couple of breaks that were lengthy, but as he was saying, all this stuff going on, and they got all the calls right.
Right.
So
right at the end,
good for him.
After initially the umpire said the run didn't count, and they had to go back and review it on replay, and it was crazy. So that's, again, people who have been watching baseball for 50 years, so they've never seen anything like this before.
That's crazy. I don't know how Harold Reynolds is as a baseball analyst. I don't hear him often.
Yeah,
seems like a likable enough guy. I'm not baseballish enough to know if he's good.
Yeah,
but I don't think anybody's having more fun or had more fun yesterday than he did. Just listening to him, there was just a genuine fun he was having watching this drama unfold.
That was an amazing game to be in and to be calling. And of course, we got another big game tonight, Gordon.
Is there one tonight?
That's really the important. That's why I talked about this, so we could talk about the fact that the Mets are playing tonight in Game 5.
Yeah, you're desperate. Well, I'm desperate also. This is going to be a tough hill to climb against the Dodgers.
Yes, it will.
On the road.
Could be a really good day tomorrow or a really bad day tomorrow. Tune in to find out, everyone.
That's right. Our mood tomorrow will be reflected in what happens tonight. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Obama is expected today to order a significant slowdown in the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, a decision that effectively hands the conflict over to his successor. The U.S. will maintain the current force of 9,800 troops in Afghanistan through most of next year and leave a force of 5,500 troops in the country in 2017. The Defense Department will deploy surveillance drones up to 300 troops to West Africa in an operation aimed at amassing intelligence on the Boko Haram militant group and aiding counterinsurgency efforts. The Pentagon has deployed an initial group of 90 military personnel to Cameroon to fight against the militant group. Bernie Sanders' campaign says it raised nearly $2 million from the first Democratic debate of the 2016 race, and social media metrics show he was the most searched candidate on Google and most discussed on Facebook and Twitter. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton celebrated the day after what some say was the best 2 hours of her campaign with a stop in Henderson, Nevada.
I am thrilled that people finally got a chance to compare the Democrats to the Republicans. And I think we came out of that pretty well.
Clinton also vowed to back President Obama's immigration reform efforts. A worrisome report about the security of Android devices. Researchers at the University of Cambridge say over the last 4 years, 87% of Android devices were found to be vulnerable to attacks from malicious apps. They say manufacturers don't offer enough regular security updates, although devices from LG, Motorola, and those that fall under the Google Nexus brand are better than most. And Uber is taking a huge shot at FedEx. Starting today, businesses in Chicago, New York, and San Francisco can pay Uber a few bucks for same-day delivery of everything from flowers to food. The service, called Uber Rush, will use the company's network of drivers as well as bicyclists to bring packages to people within minutes.
All right, here we go. Kind of ramping up the same day.
Yes.
Same-day delivery.
During the holiday shopping, it's getting crazy out there with those drivers.
That is
watch
something.
Out.
Very good. Definite trend to watch for. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
All right, so if I asked you what you thought a good name would be for an elected official who's an advocate for children in the city of North Pole, Alaska, what would you say? Well, of course you'd say Santa Claus. And guess what? He won election as a city councilman. Yes, he's rosy-cheeked. And the 68-year-old Mr. Claus won a 3-year term in North Pole, a city southeast of Fairbanks. About 2,200 people live in town. Mr. Claus, who legally changed his name from Tom O'Connor about a decade ago, he did it while living in Nevada. He could be seen in recent days wearing a trademark red velvet outfit and holding a campaign sign in North Pole. He was one of two write-in candidates. In an interview with Reuters, he said that calling state lawmakers and saying, hey, this is Santa Claus from North Pole, either got their attention or a quick, though temporary, rejection. He says it's been a valuable tool for developing legislation to protect children. I would imagine when Santa Claus is on the phone. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening. If you love our show, we'd love it if you took a few minutes to give us a review on iTunes. And while you're at it, make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow.